Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you on Colombo Chronicles Live, welcoming everyone. Hope you're having a great day, because today we're going to have a great show. And right out of Canada, we have a very special guest. He is a researcher and an author, and his name is Stefan Verstappen. You can find him on the internet and on YouTube, in fact. And we're going to be talking to him about China, communist China, and how communist China has a place on the world stage, and why we need to pay attention to communist China. Back in 2008, Town Hall published a blog of mine, and it was entitled China on the March. And I warned Americans to be aware of communist China, who was building up their armies quietly, building up their economy quietly. And at that time, I didn't know that George Soros, who everyone in the world must know the name George Soros, a staunch Democrat and New World Order billionaire, was actually working, according to his own words, online and on camera, to devalue the United States dollar and to make communist China the economic and military superpower of the world. So, in other words, he's working against all of Western civilization, and in particularly the United States of America, because it is the United States of America who everyone else looks up to help them, and when they're in need, to help them with medical supplies, food, clean water, diseases, medical help, etc. So, on that note, let's take a break, and then let's welcome our very special guest, Canadian author, researcher, Stefan Verstappen. We'll be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe. It's been seen in commercials, Marlboro commercials, and many others, and TV commercials, and tourism write-ups and magazines, and it is a very, very special place to eat in Benson, Arizona.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because we're going to be talking about Communist China. And most people leave off the communist, but I don't, because it is Communist China. And the Clintons embraced Communist China way back when, in 1993. And after they took over the White House, and after President Bill Clinton signed NAFTA and opened up our international waters, ports, and our borders. So let's just get started, and let's say hello to Stefan Verstappen. Hi, Stefan. How are you doing, and how's it out there in Canada?
Well, Canada is a socialist country, and it's we're not doing too good out here. And it's freezing cold because of global warming. We've had record cold fall, record cold October, record cold November, early snow. We've broken all temperature records for the coldest November in history. Because of global warming, of course, and we're not allowed to talk about it, because here in socialist communist Canada, that would be considered hate speech. So we just have to go, yes, climate change, yes, tax me some more. And of course, we already have a carbon tax here, and
oh my God,
which is oh yeah, and it's destroying our economy. All these people in the small towns and that used to be scattered throughout Canada, that they can't afford to heat their homes anymore. They can't. I mean, I was up there. They're ghost towns. They're moving out
of
these small towns.
Yeah, because they're trying to kill everybody.
They are trying to kill everybody. I don't know what people don't understand. They are out to kill us. And,
yeah.
And it's obvious. They don't even try to hide it. They just, you know, rely on the innate stupidity of the masses not to notice that they're being killed.
Well, I think, you know, because people like you and me who are patriots and believe in freedom, liberty, rights, sovereignty, legal immigration, legal migration, inspections, law enforcement, the rule of law, and we are a republic in the USA, but the Democrats don't recognize that anymore. They don't even recognize the Constitution of the United States any longer, or their sworn oath, so you're not alone. We have a slew of Democrats who appear to be socialists. Some admit they are socialists. I had heard rumors in the past that we had 80 card-carrying socialists in our Congress, and then we also have probably some commies around too, because we know we have communist spies, and we are from China. We also know we have Middle East spies who are here to infiltrate and overpopulate and dominate our nation, which is a written and stated strategic by the Muslim Brotherhood and published in a book. So that's no secret. So that can't really be considered hate speech, because they wrote it and stated it. It's not from me. It's from them. And so they even tell us what their intent is, which is to steal our land and redistribute our wealth to them. And they're depopulating all the European descendants, which is like you and me and millions of Western civilization persons and babies. And now they're into depopulating U.S. natural-born babies at birth. Used to be called late term. It was illegal. And used to be illegal. And even after birth, which was called infanticide, which was illegal. And now we have governors writing their own laws, bypassing the federal law, which was called Roe versus Wade, that made abortion legal up to a certain time. And now they don't care, Stefan. They're just writing laws, and nobody's stopping them, these Democrats, to kill a human being at birth, full-born babies, and fully developed, and after birth for organs, human tissue, all for profit, and through Planned Parenthood, who Obama made us pay into against our will, high taxation to kill American babies, which is against our moral and Christian values. And that is a depopulation program of natural-born Americans needed to preserve the United States of America in the future. And we are becoming the minority and are flooding our nation, Stefan, with all these unidentified foreigners who many are involved in the cartels, the jihadists, the terrorists, and the gangs, very dangerous. And we have these Democrats saying, oh, the President of the United States called them animals. Well, if they don't realize how they torture people and innocent victims, and it's a horrible, horrible crime against humanity when they kill somebody and execute them or torture them and gang rape them, how insane has Canada and America become?
Well, it's a satanic takeover. There's no other way to describe it. I mean, these people, first of all, there's really no such thing as socialists. They're communists with a happy mask on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even Marx said that socialism will use the cover of socialism to infiltrate, and then we'll reveal ourselves to be the communists that we all were from the very beginning. So everybody that calls themselves a socialist, no, they're a communist.
Yes,
and,
I agree.
You know, just go over the border, you know, step over the border from Arizona into Mexico. Mexico has 100,000 plus murders a year. I mean, this is like the Vietnam War casualty rate times two every year. And go ahead.
Well, now that you mention Mexico is taken over by the cartels. I mean, you used to be able to go to Mexico and to nice areas and they would be secure. There's no such thing any longer, and because the cartels are being allowed to take over, and the biggest drug lord ever, El Chapo, who was somehow got his way out of prison, found his way out of prison so many times. And then this last time he was supposed to be incarcerated, and he named some U.S. congressional members that took bribes, and they slammed the courtroom door, and you never heard another word about it again. And they took it down from, you know, social media and everything. You know, you cannot find it anymore. So this actually confirms his words, why we have open borders and to change and transform America. And what they're doing, in my opinion, is drugging out all the youth, and with either legal drugs like Ritalin and other drugs that alter the mind. And then they're also allowing all the illicit drugs to come into the country, and knowing that kids are easily hooked, who are, you know, so many latchkey kids today, or mom's not home because she's out working and so forth because of the economy. So here we have, instead of protecting the children in this country and probably other countries, it is a serious, serious problem. And the cartels are on our borders and inside our border cities now. That's so scary.
Yep.
How about over your country?
Three years ago, I got an art commission. I'm also an artist. You know, I never call myself an artist, but I like to create things. I'm a very creative person. And despite living in a world where everywhere I turn, there is evil and ugliness, it just inspires me to do something that's pretty, that's nice, that's, you know, brings a little bit of joy and beauty to the world, because I'm so sick of looking around me and seeing the unrelenting evil and degradation of our population, of our society. So I do something. I have to do some art once in a while, and occasionally I get a good commission. So I got this commission to do a public art installation in a small town in northern Alberta. Now, Alberta is sort of like Montana, except northern Alberta is subarctic, and it was a small town called Fort McMurray. And I was in Fort McMurray 45 years ago when I was a teenager traveling across the country, you know, doing a road trip. And I went up there to visit a friend that was working on the railroad. Now, in those days, they were still building roads and railroads through the forest, and so they had these moving camps. And it was a great gig for a college-age kid to spend the summer working on the railroad. They made good money. You didn't spend any money on rent because you stayed in the bunks. And they fed you, and boy, did they feed you. My God, the meals were fantastic. And at that time, Fort McMurray was literally a one-horse town. There was one traffic light, there was one hardware store, and there was one tavern with, sawdust on the floor. And pretty much the only people you would see in town were Aboriginal Native Americans. You know, it was a one-horse Indian town. Well, so I'm going back to Fort McMurray. Now, Fort McMurray is the nearest city or town to the tar sands, the oil sands here. And, of course, it's, in the last 30 years, it's been built up to exploit the oil resources there. I get there. I walk into the Walmart because I needed to buy underwear and socks, which I didn't pack. So I walk into the Walmart. Honest to God, Rose, it was like I stepped into Abu Dhabi. I mean, everywhere. It was all I saw was a sea of jalabas what's the name, the other name that they use for that, you know, the full head scarf, you know, with only the eyes showing. What did they call that again?
They call them the sheets. I call them sheets. I don't know. I've forgotten them myself. I call them sheets. I mean, that's what they want to do to us women here. You know, they want to hang a sheet over our head and cut out a couple of eyeballs and a nose and lips, and that's about it.
Yeah, and keep you chained to the stove and beat you regularly with a stick. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I didn't see any Aboriginal people anymore. Well, okay, further down, a few were passed out drunk on the side of the street, you know. But it was like I stepped into the Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable. They're shipping them in specifically to small towns everywhere. And now here in Canada, we get these reports, you know, from these little towns, these small cities that, you know, 20 years ago, you would drive through them. You could leave your car unlocked on the street. You could walk down anywhere. There was never. Now, all of a sudden, it's the crime rate. Oh, the crime rate, the shootings, the murders, the rapes, the pillaging, the robberies, the break-ins, the home invasions. Well, guess what? They all have 100,000 Sudanese living there now. No wonder the crime rate is through the roof. What do you think? It's the poor Aboriginals are doing all the crime? Ah, the Aboriginals, once in a while, they get drunk and smash something. But, you know, it wasn't a crime wave. They weren't murdering people by the thousands. Now it is. And guess what? It's because, you know, I know it's going to sound racist, but no, because they imported all these third world people, and not by the tens of thousands, and they put them in little towns where mom and pop had lived there for 5-6 generations, you know, never locked the door, never, you know, was afraid to walk the streets. Now, of course, everybody is because, well, we got all these third world refugees there. And the other thing is they lie about how many they're bringing in. We're told it's only like 300,000. Really, if it's only 300,000, how come there's 100,000 in every small town across Canada? I mean, it's part of their plan. Like this.
And Trudeau's in on it, along with the Obamas and the Clintons and the Bushes and the Pelosis and the Schiffs and all of these people who are in the European Union and support the New World Order, and they've become extremely wealthy, living off the taxpayers while making deals with all of these foreign countries. They have all become extremely rich. And here we are, the victims of these anti-American, anti-Canadian, anti-Europeans who were turncoats on their own citizens.
They hate us. Make no mistake about it. They hate us.
Yeah.
And they think we're idiots to let them into our countries and to give them all
this
stuff.
Well, we have Democrats who called us idiots, stupid, dredges, small-minded, deplorables, who need to go to camps, according to Hillary Clinton in her third debate. I don't think anybody else caught it but me, to tell you the truth, because I catch everything they say, and because I think words matter. And the fact is that we have FEMA camps. So I don't think she meant summer camps for the people who oppose them.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, same here in Canada. We got this, the latest little psychopath trust fund offspring, the son of Fidel Castro and the wife of Pierre Trudeau. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, and same thing there in the States, you know, your government, do they care about the homeless people? No, they don't care about it. Do they care about the alcoholism and the fentanyl and the OxyContin plague and the mass suicide and the veterans that are sleeping on the streets with only one leg left? No, they don't care about any of those people. Do they care about the unemployment rate and the poverty and the suffering and the stress and the anxiety? No, they don't care about any about that. But you know who they do care about? They care about Nigerians. They love Nigerians. They care so much about, you know, come on, please. Look, I'm not
a
racist.
It's the same way here. I love our nation. I was born in our nation, the United States of America. I was raised to respect our flag, the Pledge of Allegiance, trust our judges, lawyers, and people in public service, and to respect adults when I was a kid, and to stand up for the pledge and place my hand on my heart and sing the national anthem. And I'm watching all this being swept away for future generations in exchange for the change and transformation to allow foreign nations who hate us to come into our country and redistribute our wealth and our taxes to them. And they make demands that they want new houses, they want food stamps, they want health care, and they want Americans to pay for it. And then they infiltrate into our public service jobs. I don't know how, because they haven't even been here that long. Plus, they don't. Mm-hmm. Most of them don't work and pay taxes. And all of a sudden, they become public servants in America. And one of them doesn't even, she will not speak English, and she was elected, believe that or not. She was elected into public office and refuses to speak English. We don't know what the heck she's even saying.
Yeah. You know,
this
I'm not
against
what's
happening.
Same here. You know, I'm a person that has always given back to the community. I've always been very nice to people. When I opened my martial arts school, one of the first two people I hired were two black guys from Jamaica. I gave them their own classroom, their own classes, and they taught like a Jamaican style of karate called Zendokai, and I supported them, and I even took photographs of them for the articles I wrote for Black Belt magazine. So these guys are, they got their picture in Black Belt magazine. It was a pretty big deal in those days.
Wow.
You know, I always supported them, you know, and recently, well, just about 5 years ago, we took in a girl, my wife and I. She was from Sri Lanka. Her house was very abusive, her household, and my wife at that time, she's left me now, but at that time she was counseling abuse victims. And so we let her stay with us and get her on her feet, and she had her own bedroom, and we helped her apply for a job and rewrote her resume for her. So she got a job with the government. So now she's going to a training program. You have to be trained, the 6-week program, right, after you get hired. And we asked her, I said, so how many people are in the training program? She said, oh, there's 11 people in the training program. And how many of them are white? Well, there's one white woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, the government is hiring recent immigrants 10 to 1.
Oh, yes,
native,
yes.
Canadian.
I noticed it at the airports. I noticed it at the airports, too.
Every government job, you know, like, I mean, there's affirmative action. Okay, if they're 10% of the population, then let's make sure there's 10% of them that have a government job. But it's not like that. It's 98% of them have a government job, even if they do only represent 10% of the population. Look, I'm not against these people because I'm racist. I've always been very forgiving and understanding and helpful. I'm especially sympathetic to Aboriginal people, First Nations people. I think they got a raw deal.
They did.
You know, okay, they lost the war. We didn't genocide them, you know, like anybody else would have done. But still, you know, they didn't have a great deal. So I'm always on the side of Aboriginal people. And to this day, I still work with Aboriginal arts communities. I help write their proposals for them. So I'm not a racist. I'm against these people, not because of who or what they are. I'm against them being here because they are a weapon by the New World Order to destroy our country. It's got nothing to do with race, or politics. It's got everything to do with they're a weapon. They're here
yes,
to
they're
destroy
being weaponized.
Our...
Yes, they
they're
are weaponized.
And we knew this 50 years ago with the what's his name? The guy that, not Pullman, he wrote the article Bowling Alone, or the book Bowling Alone, Putnam. The Professor Putnam,
Putnam
who wrote the book Bowling Alone.
Oh.
That's right. And they knew 50 years ago that this is a disaster. They know it. So, you know, they've been going on, diversity is our strength, diversity is our strength. No, everybody knows diversity is not our strength. Everybody knows diversity is our disaster. And that's why I'm against. This is a plot from the New World Order to destroy us, because the one thing the New World Order hates more than anything is to see happy middle-class families enjoying life. They hate that.
Well, common sense tells you that sovereign nations were made sovereign because allowing people who are not vetted and background checked and who want to become Canadians or Americans and assimilate and pledge their allegiance to our laws and our flag, that's common sense. And that's what always happened. And that's why we were strong and survived. We cannot survive when we have no idea who 30 million people from third world countries happen to be, but they're all on our welfare system draining it, and they're not working, and they're not paying taxes, but they're suddenly allowing them to become illegals, to vote, to get driver's licenses, to live off the taxpayers, get their health care. Well, they call it free. It's not free. We, the American taxpayers and our families and past generations, built this country, died for this country, were injured for this country, and so that the American legal Americans and the legal naturalized Americans who came here and assimilated and work and pay their own way and pay taxes, that was how we were created. And people say, oh, America is a land of immigrants. We are not a land of immigrants. That stopped when the Constitution was written and they decided that all other people were naturalized Americans after they were background checked and vetted to assimilate and be loyal to America. They became naturalized Americans. We are a nation of natural born Americans, but the New World Order is trying to destroy that and destroy the future natural-born Americans by brainwashing the young girls that they don't need to have their babies. They're not babies, just boredom. And just, you know, whether they're at fully developed or sitting on laying on a table, they'll take care of it, and they'll make profits off of their babies. So they're using pregnant women, and they're using the babies as human commodities for human capital, big profits. And then like Planned Parenthood uses some of those profits to donate to the Democrats in office, because they know the Democrats will continue to force Americans to pay for Planned Parenthood. So this is huge, evil, sinister death door that's circulating like a revolving door in and out of Planned Parenthood, and the money cycling back to the Democrats.
Yeah, it's demonic.
It is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't.
You remember, you know, I want to get into China, because I know you wanted to talk about communist China. So let's take a break, take a sip of coffee or whatever, and then we'll come back and we will talk about communist China, because communist China were the first to abort 40 million baby girls. So we'll be right back after this important message.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics, from politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make the sure you are listening.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up. And Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because that's what we're doing. We are talking about the New World Order and how the New World Order is using human beings as human commodities for research, experiments, for profit, including pregnant women and including their babies, and how this extra profit is going back into the same programs in the Democratic Party in the USA to fund their campaigns so they remain in office and keep Planned Parenthood going, so this revolving door continues on, and the majority of Americans oppose it because of morality or Christian beliefs or their own personal beliefs that these are babies. They're talking about full-born babies at birth and after birth, and there are governors in the United States who are now passing laws, writing laws. I don't even know if they're legal, lawful, or constitutional. I doubt it, but that's my opinion, because in the past that would have been considered murder. So that's what we're talking about, and now we're going to talk about communist China. So let's return to our very special guest, researcher and author and artist from Canada, Stefan Verstappen. Hi, Stefan. We're back on the air, and I hope you are geared up to talk about communist China.
Oh, I'm geared up for communist China. Just to give the listeners about my background, I first visited Asia back in 1985. I traveled all through Asia. I lived in Hong Kong and I lived in Taipei. I traveled through China in those days. And then I went back 10 years later in the year 2000 and traveled through mainland China. And I saw what was going on, that this was the year that they were allowed favorite nation status or favorite nation trading status. And they were welcomed into the World Trade Organization. And I've been in touch with people that live in China ever since. And first of all, what people need to know, that China is and has been communist for like 80 years. Communism is evil incarnate. Communism is the most evil system ever created by man. I can't. You know, not even the Nazis came close to the kind of evil that the communists inflict, and it has not changed. And China today is the spear point for the New World Order. This big, you know, the economic miracle of China, listen, that is all funded by the central bankers and Wall Street. The same people that funded the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, the same people that funded the Nazis, the same people that fund communist movements all over the world, the same people that fund the Marxist socialist Frankfurt School programming in our schools and in our medium, it's the same people. Communist China is not run by Chinese. It's run by George Soros and his ilk. That's why we see China doing something we have never seen in the history of China, and that is arming and becoming aggressive externally. Now, the history of China is they've always been a defensive country. In 4,000 years, they never had expansive goals. They weren't interested in taking over neighboring countries. They were always being invaded by neighboring countries. That's why they built the Great Wall, to keep other people out, not because they used it to attack other countries. You don't build the wall to attack other countries. You build the wall to keep them out. And that's why China is famous for the Great Wall of China. I mean, they just wanted to be left alone for 4,000 years, and they've been invaded repeatedly from the Xiongnu and the Mongols, and then more recently the Manchus. So to see them suddenly turn around and start aggressive building of military bases all over the world and infiltrating countries everywhere. I mean, they're built, they have 99-year leases on ports in Malaysia and the Solomon Islands. They're building islands. They're filling it in with sand and concrete to build military bases in the middle of the South China Sea. They're infiltrating our universities and our businesses and our government, and they're using our money for that. Where do you think they got all that money? They got that money from the people that stole it from us, the same communists that run our country and that stole our tax money. That's why they're so wealthy. And also,
yes,
printing
and
money.
George Soros, you mentioned George Soros. George Soros funds all the Democrats. He has so many organizations. The key one is the Open Society. And so many Democrats belong to the Open Society. And people like professors, liberal professors and teachers. And we can see it trickling on down into the public schools with the immoral teachings of sex to and sexual preference and indoctrinating children and brainwashing them from kindergarten on up. If they had their way, they'd probably enter into the preschools as well. This is very, very sick and very dangerous for any civilized nation. I'm sorry, go ahead, but you just triggered me.
You're seeing here,
go ahead.
Like, it's not people that do that. It's the New World Order. It's the same people that are behind the destruction of Western countries. They're the ones that are funding this. They control it. And we have a bunch of really ominous events taking place in China, like Xi Jinping becoming dictator for life. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is like Stalin. This is, you know.
This is what
like
they're trying
Hitler.
In America right now. Only people, in my opinion, it's my opinion, people in America aren't realizing that this move by the Democrats is to end elections in America. That's my opinion. To impeach the President of the United States based on hearsay, and they're saying that hearsay is evidence. Hearsay is not evidence. It's a bunch of gossip. It's a bunch of bull. And anybody that buys into that is an idiot. Sorry. But it's true.
Yeah. No, and China is the perfect tool for the New World Order because, look, the Chinese people never in 4,000 years ever invented democracy. They're used to being ruled by tyrants. It never even invented a constitutional monarchy. It never happened in China, not like it happened in, you know, here in the West. It happened first under King John, where they forced him, the barons, the English people got tired of being taxed 10%. You know, they rose up in rebellion for being taxed 10%. We're now being taxed 60%, never mind all the other taxes. When you add it all up, the average American pays 80% of every penny they earn and spend on taxes. But in England, back in the 1200s, you know, 1400s, they rebelled because King John, the evil King John, you know, from Robin Hood fame, raised the taxes to 10%, and they rebelled, and they forced him to sign the Magna Carta, which became the basis for the Constitution. It was a constitutional monarchy. I mean, you couldn't just give, you know, the leader of your country unlimited power to do whatever he wants, kill whoever he wants, tax whatever he wants. There was a limitation on power. This never happened in China. So the Chinese are used to working under dictators and tyrants. And
yeah, because it was like 1921 when they formed the Communist Chinese Party, and then the Communist Party of China declared that they should have absolute leadership over China's People's Liberation Army, and that promoted the one country, two systems, the system for Hong Kong, who's now rebelling and wants freedom and liberty and rights like in America. They're waving our flags, singing our national anthem. And so that's, you know, that's how it began, with just one person actually deciding, you know, I'm a dictator and this is what's coming down, right?
Well, it was Sun Yat-sen, and he formed a republic based on the American model.
Yeah.
And they ruled China. They never ruled China. At that time, it was during what they called the warlord period. China was divided up into numerous provinces and states. They're each ruled by a lunatic warlord, you know, with a private army that would rob, rape, and pillage the countryside. And they fought amongst each other for a long time. The only thing that stopped the fighting was the Japanese invasion in 1938, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that. That's what sort of united the Chinese people to quit murdering each other and unite against the Japanese invasion. And Sun Yat-sen, even though he was the first president of China, and they tried to bring in a constitution like the United States, it never took hold. They never had a chance because, you know, they were too busy killing each other and bickering with these warlords for 20 years. And then the Japanese invaded, and, well, you know, it never took off there either. But it was during the Japanese invasion that the Russian Bolsheviks sent their agents into China. Their lead agent was a guy, I think it was Mikhail Borodin. His real name was like Norman Finkelstein or something like that, you know. But they sent them in there, and they're the ones that groomed Mao, and they're the ones that supported the communists, including America, you know, sending tanks and weapons to the communists. And what the communists did was they were supposed to fight the Japanese, but they didn't. They just ran away. And so the remaining people called the Republican Army, the Nationalist Army of China, which later on went on to form Taiwan, they took the hit. They fought the Japanese, and the communists sat on the sidelines and thought, well, this is a good idea. We'll watch the Republicans and the Japanese slaughter each other. And when they're done, we'll step in and take over. And that's what they did. It's a classic strategy. It's in my book, The 36 Strategies of Ancient China. It's called Watch Fire on the Opposite Shore. In other words, it's what the socialists are doing to us, too. You get everybody to fight amongst each other. And, you know, once we've murdered each other and there's blood in the streets and we're all weak and sick and dying, well, they step in because they never had, they never took part in the battle. So they come in fresh with fresh equipment and fresh food, and they take over. And that's what the communists did. And they've been
like
in power
in Chile
ever since.
And Venezuela and these other South American countries, these socialist dictators are taking over. They're ruling with an iron fist, and the people are dying from starvation. And if they want a bottle of water and a loaf of bread, they have to stand in line and be numbered on their arm like the Nazis did. And they don't even have, you know, the necessities of life to survive. And that's why you're having all of these caravans and people, you know, and among them join the jihadists, the terrorists, the cartels and the gangs and all these people who are coming to harm Americans, along with the people who need help. But we can't handle millions of people flooding into our nation without going down ourselves, right?
Right. And again, this is another strategy that's in my book, The 36 Strategies. It's a very common tactic. They used to do this in China as well. So you'd have an army, they would say, they would conquer one of the villages or one of the towns. They'd round up all the townspeople and they would drive them into the countryside to the next town. So now the next town is sitting there and suddenly, you know, there's all their cousins from 100 miles away are starving and beaten and wounded, and they're begging for help, and they flood and they overwhelm their social services, and they overwhelm the food supplies, and, you know, people are trying to look after them, and then comes the army and then takes over that town and then drives all those people over to the next city. So flooding a country with refugees is a military tactic as a precursor to invasion, and that's what's happening here.
And I say it is an invasion, but that's hate speech on social media. You can't tell the truth. You cannot tell the truth on social media or you get suspended or banned.
Absolutely. And so, you know, again, that's why I'm against this, you know, refugee invasion, immigrant, whatever nonsense, you know, because it's a military strategy. They are actually themselves not exactly the invaders. They're the shock troops meant to weaken us. Now, China has 1 billion people. They could easily send lots of troops over once we've been taken down, once our society is in total decay, the economy has collapsed, and people are starving, which is what the communists always do. Communists always weaponize food. They starve you to death. This happened in Holodomor. This happened in Russia. This happened in mainland China under Mao. Hundreds of millions of people starve to death for the communists. And that's what they're going to do to us, Rose. That's why, you know, I'm always telling people, you know, stock up on food, stock up on shotguns, you know, because...
But what they should do is they should go into Washington, D.C. and demand that all these Democrats resign from office, because they want to impeach a president of the United States who actually cares about America and the American people and our sovereignty. And I don't care what they say about him. He is the only one who has been strong enough to stand up and say the things that the American people want to hear and know is happening, but confirming it, and they hate him for it. The NWO, the Democrats, they hate him, and they're impeaching him out of rage and hate because they wanted Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton back in the White House, and they'd bring the Obamas back. They'd allow Soros to keep funding everybody and being the orchestra leader to what their agendas are on how to create this one world order and continue the invasion into the USA. That's my opinion.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right, Rose, and that's why China is such a threat, because they are the perfect tool for the New World Order. You know, when I first got to China, and this was just around the time that
NAFTA
was...
I'm so glad you said that, because I just, you know, got through telling the audience that George Soros was on video, he probably still is, it may still be on YouTube, stating that he intended to devalue the U.S. dollar and to make communist China the superpower, the supermilitary and financial power economically in the entire world, which means he would have, they would have to take over the USA to do that.
Yeah. So I get there, and NAFTA destroyed the economy here in Canada, because previous to that, you know, American companies that wanted to do business in Canada would have to have, you know, a branch office here in Canada. So once NAFTA was put into place, all those branch offices closed down, and hundreds of thousands of people were thrown out of good-paying jobs. And so I was thrown out of a good-paying job. I ended up in China because that's where my job went to. I was a publicist, and I worked for my picture was on the cover of the People's Daily, the Shanghai Business Journal. I mean, I wrote lots of articles and things like that. I was the star child there. And I'll be honest with you, when I first got there, I mean, China's amazing. When you go to the what they call the first-tier cities, which is the big cities, Beijing, Shanghai, Shenzhen, and these are like, you know, yeah, skyscrapers, five-star hotels, neon lights everywhere. It blows you away. But you don't understand that behind that big flash, that big display, are millions, hundreds of millions of Chinese people that are exploited to the max. You know, Apple, you know, Steve Jobs, oh, he's such a hero, he's such a wonderful, what an entrepreneur. Oh, my God, he's a psychopath. Because the factory in Shenzhen, where they make Apple iPhones, has erected nets around the office buildings and the factories. And the reason they have to erect nets is to catch the people that are trying to commit suicide by throwing themselves out the window, because they're working 16 hours a day with toxic chemicals, getting horrific cancers and diseases for which they get no medical treatment, and it drives them crazy, and they start to throw themselves off the roof of the building. So now they got safety nets to catch the suicides. I mean, this is the country, and this is, you know, this is Wall Street.
Wow.
And this is the big... This is America that's doing this there, you know. Oh, you're making so much money. Oh,
well, we're not doing it there. China's letting us do it there.
Well, of course, China's
letting us. We're doing it because China is allowing it.
Absolutely.
The Chinese
just like
leaders.
America,
yeah.
Allowing ourselves.
I mean, if they cared about their citizens, they wouldn't be doing that. they would say no. You know, my citizens are going to work this many hours, and they're going to get this kind of pay like they do in America. And so instead of going to China and all these other third world nations, they're going to come to us and depopulate us. So the European descendants who are educated and know their job and build businesses and all this small businesses are no longer. The big boys will own everything, and they'll have all this cheap labor.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's how it appears to me. That's my opinion of how I envision their agenda.
Well, here's what shocked me when I got there. So you've heard of all these, you know, ghost cities. They are already starting to build them back already.
Well, I just want to say that story you just told about the people jumping out of windows onto nets is shocking. I don't think anybody's ever heard that. I have never heard anybody talk about that.
I haven't heard that. Well, you know, because who's going to tell you that, you know? So, you know, Apple is making all this money and all this profit because they get to pay Chinese people $2 a day and work them 16 hours a day. And these people live in dormitories, 8 people on bunk beds to a 10 by 10 foot room. And they eat, you know, from a cafeteria where they get rotten food. And they work 7 days a week. They get 1 week a year off during Chinese New Year. And they don't see their families, and they don't see their kids. They just work on that assembly line, making Apple phones so that Steve Jobs can become a billionaire.
And you know what? You reminded me of an article I read back in the 90s, and how they were how the New World Order was. They didn't call it the New World Order, of course, but it is the New World Order. Was planning on arresting, you know, creating all this racial tension and crime in the inner cities like we have now, where everybody's shooting everybody and they're living in poverty and stuff, like in big cities like St. Louis and Baltimore. There's other cities and Chicago, and they're killing each other in their own neighborhoods. They're killing their own American people. And so I read that they were going to arrest more black people and put them in jail and use them as slaves for big corporations to make their products inside the jails. That's what I heard, for like 25 cents an hour.
I saw this interview with a bunch of rappers. They were talking off the cuff, and they were told that the record producers told them to, you know, put a lot of lyrics in about killing people and, you know, and robbing and, you know, the whole gangster stuff, right? And the rappers are saying, why do we want to do that? He says, well, because we're investing some of your profits into the prison system. The prison system in the United States is a private corporation. It's a private corporation. You're paying $60,000 a year to keep these people in jail. $60,000 a year would be enough to keep them in a nice home and pay for their college education. But no, they're keeping them in jail.
Rehabilitate kids. Yes.
And you can't.
They don't want to do that.
In the prison. So they said, make sure there's lots of crime and violence in your rap lyrics so we can keep the prisons filled up. This system we work in, it's evil from top to bottom. And these are the rappers themselves. I forget. You have to Google it. But they're talking about it themselves. I don't know the names of them. I don't follow rap. But they were all talking about it. Oh, yeah. The executives from Sony came in, and they said, listen, you know, put lots of violence, you know, bust a cap, boom, 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 all this stuff, because, you know, and when you listen to rap music, listen, I hate this stuff, but if I listen to it for 10 minutes, I have the urge to go out and bust a cap in somebody. You know, it sounds pretty glamorous, you know.
Well, so, that's the whole thing, is they've been glamorizing crime and drugs and free sex for women, like it's no big deal, just meet the guy and jump in the elevator and just do whatever. And I mean, this is what they have been teaching the youth since the 1980s, and it is really immoral and just un-American and just disgusting. And it comes from the dark side. It cannot come from the light. Cannot come from God.
No.
It definitely comes from the dark side, because their pedophilia today is such a huge problem. and it is international. And for decades, people have tried to expose it, and they have just totally either gone to heaven, or they have been threatened, or they've been silenced. And so it's, you know, because the people involved don't want it to stop, and the people involved are making a multi-billion-dollar business out of it, and the people involved don't want to go to jail. So they try to legalize it. So this is all part of communism, isn't it?
It is. It's all, well, you know, but communism, even that is a misnomer. What's behind communism is Satanism. And there's no other way to describe it. The level of evil is beyond comprehension for most normal people. I mean, even Michael Jackson talked about how evil Sony was. The reason we have rap music is because Sony has shares in the prison complex. That's why we have rap music, not because we're empowering black people or any of that nonsense. Oh my God, it's to make sure that the prisons are full of black people, and so that Rose Colombo can pay taxes to the government, to pay to the corporations, to imprison these people. It's madness. Oh my God.
But it's
anyways,
not,
so
it's,
almost
it's,
out of
it's,
time, Rose.
Yeah, but it's like in communist China, though. I mean, they just execute you on the spot if, you know, if you cross over their borders or illegally or anything, you know. So it's a lot worse than we can imagine, right, than what we're seeing on the face of the beautiful high-rises and all that.
They have what's called cancer villages because the pollution is so bad, and these big corporations like Apple dump their toxic waste into the local river, and then downstream there's a village that takes that water and uses it for drinking water and to irrigate their crops. And suddenly that village has 70-80% cancer rate. They're called cancer villages. They're all over China from the pollution. And the pirating and the corruption is off the scale. You can go into a Chinese shop and buy a bottle of liquor like Crown Royal, and you can die from poisoning because it's artificial liquor. They put chemicals into it. It's not even whiskey. They fake it. They fake the bottle. They fake everything, the packaging and all that. And then they fill it up with cheap chemicals, and they don't care how many people die from drinking it. It's so corrupt in China, and the Chinese people are so exploited. But pretty soon they're going to be marched off to invade America. Take my word on it. And this protest in Hong Kong, my heart goes out to the people of Hong Kong. I've lived in Hong Kong. I love the city.
You know, and I love the Chinese people. I know that, you know, the regular citizens, they're so sweet and kind, and I've met so many, and I've met, you know, the Japanese people. They're so courteous, and, you know, and they have a lot of wisdom, and I mean, all these different people. I don't blame the citizens. I blame the leaders and the who are forcing this upon the masses. They don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, the people don't have a choice. And, you know, we have to pray for all these people, and our hearts go out to them. But we have a country to save, too, because they're trying to do the same thing to us.
Exactly.
Silence
well,
us.
The Chinese,
they want to silence us.
The Chinese version, their model is what they're going to implement on us. We'll all be living in cages. We'll all be working 16 hours a day. And if you don't like it, they'll pick you up and they'll torture you to death, which is what they do in China to this day. Those Hong Kong protesters, they'll be rounded up and tortured to death. Trust me. That's what they do. That's what communists always do.
Wow. Stefan, it is always such intriguing and interesting to speak with you, and we have to do this again because I want to hear more about communist China. You've told me some stories I have never heard before, and I don't think the public has heard them before. And I think it's important that people understand what is real communism.
Yeah, real communism.
You know, it's just a word to people. You know what I mean? Oh, that was horrible what they did and the Nazis did. I don't think they understand that communism can come here and what it really means to individuals and their families. I really don't think so.
People have no idea what's coming. No idea.
No. I mean, look at, I've been around for, you know, on these issues for going on 30 years, and I can tell you that I never heard those stories. And I do a lot of research, as you know, and writing, and so I've never heard those stories, and they're shocking.
Google suicide nets in China. There's all kinds of articles. There's people that do write about that, but this is how bad it is. Imagine you're at a job that's so bad, you throw yourself off the roof because you just want it to end. This is what's coming, America. Unless you stand up and do something now, open your mouth, push back against these liberal lunatics. They're the leading edge of this madness that is coming our way. And once it takes place, it'll never get better.
No, it'll be over. America will be over. Freedom, liberty, rights, sovereignty will be ended. And freedom of speech, freedom of thought, because in communist China, they have the thought police as well. And now in America, these Wall Street gurus are pushing for profit to start using facial recognition at the airports. Why? Why are you radiating our faces, and why are you assaulting us and spying on us? Why? That's what I want to know, because in America, we have a constitution that says you have to have probable cause, even a police officer. These CEOs don't have probable cause to do that to Americans, as well as radiate them, which has direct adverse side effects. It can cause cancer, cataracts, stunt growth for children. It can cause aging, and there's no reversing it, and so much more. You can die from being over-radiated. And so they are assaulting our bodies with a direct assault on our bodies at the airports, or else you have to go pay, I guess, to try and get around it. But it's all about spying on us, and it's just disgusting, and it's not worth the money, no matter how much money they're making. It is not worth it, because it's going to – the dumb part about it is – their kids, they think that they will not have enough money to protect their children or themselves, because communists will come in and take their money.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're a rich guy. You got a big fancy house and lots. It doesn't matter. They come and take it anyways. There's nothing to it. But I know we're almost out of time, Rose. The last thing I want to say to people is, this is not about politics. This is not about racism or race relations or anything like that. What this is a biblical battle between good and evil. Choose a side, folks. Choose a side, Satan or God. There is no in-between. There's no sitting on the sidelines seeing how things play out. If you're not actively working towards goodness and the side of light, then you're on the side of evil. That's what's going on right now. I can't believe it myself. I would never guess I should say such a thing 30 years ago. But this is the undeniable conclusion of my observations.
It's mine, too. I've said the same thing, that it's a battle, it's a war. We're at war between evil versus good. It's a spiritual battle, and you better stand up for either one side or the other, because if you're on the fence, they're going to take you down. And you're no good to the good people and God's children, because you are allowing it to happen if you're on the fence. And so before we end, can you tell us any information you have about how they can find your books or your information?
Okay, all my books are on my website. My website is named after my very first book that I published 20 years ago, and it's called ChinaStrategies.com. ChinaStrategies, one word, .com. All my books are on there, and all my books are written to give you tools to survive what's coming. So if you want to survive this battle between good and evil, that's what my books are intended to do. It's for the side of good to fight against evil.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Stefan, for stopping, and we'll talk to you again soon, and God bless you, and stay safe.
Oh, you too, Rose.
And
love
I
you.
If I don't talk to you before the holidays, have a very Merry Christmas and whatever you do celebrate, if it's not Christmas. I hope it's blessed and filled with lots of family, friends, and good things coming to you. Thank you.
I hope you
again.
Don't get charged with saying Christmas. Thank you, Rose.
I'm going to say Merry Christmas forever. Thank
Me
you.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And our Canadian researcher and author and artist, Stefan Verstappen, has left the building. Check out his website. Check out his books. And God bless you. God bless America. Pray for the President of the United States. He's standing strong. You need to stand with him, by him, and for him, and by the Constitution, for the Constitution, with the Constitution. Pray for Border Patrol, ICE, law enforcement, first responders, and veterans, and our U.S. military, and all our elderly people who are struggling because of the invasion of 30 million unidentified people who are now draining the system and taking away from them, which means they're taking away from their own money because Nancy Pelosi diverted $2 billion recently for the sham scam impeachment hearings based on hearsay only with no firsthand evidence, a ghost whistleblower connected to the Ukraine Schiff and his staffer friend, and all of the rest who are involved with their families for profit in the Ukraine, such as the Kerrys, the Pelosis, the Bidens, and a new Democrat, her husband from Florida, and her husband has been alleged to have received $700,000 from a hitman, so alleged hitman. So read about it on the internet, do your homework, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America and people everywhere who are not free and do not know liberty and rights and the right to life and the right to be free and to be who you want, what you want, do what you want, go where you want, and stay healthy. Remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me. But together, we can make a positive difference. Remember, wherever you are in the world, you are not alone when you listen to Rose. The Rose, right here at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.